Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this marvelous episode, we're talking about Moon Knight and other things. Maybe. I don't know. We'll figure it out. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. That's right. That's right. With your hosts, Brandon and Travis.
Coming to you live from the 8th different location in the history of this podcast. I didn't do that math, but it's got to be close to true.
It's got to.
Should we do the rundown real quick?
It's got to be. It's got to be true. Yeah,
you're the original garage where we recorded the first time, and then the office that I moved to from there. And then the office that you moved to from there. And then I moved. Oh, but I had two houses in Omaha.
Oh, so
that's two different places. And you've had two houses in California. Plus, I think we did an episode of my kitchen. That equals 8. Sure. Plus, we've like done hotels. We've done your in-laws like backyard. Like we've done.
We interviewed Jimmy J in the hotel lobby in Hawaii.
That's right. Look at us. We'll take this show on the road. Just don't even trip. Anyway, welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, the podcast where we just talk about things and catch up on our social life for one day a week. I'm Travis. That's Brandon. And if you want to contact the show, if you're new here, you want to follow us on social media, plenty of ways you can do that. You can follow us on Twitter at Apathusiast. I am at Jogomino. He's at Barnyard Cruz. Don't forget to subscribe to us on that as soon as that option becomes available. Thanks, Elon. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow, or send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. We are on Instagram at apathetic_enthusiasm. And you can also go to our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com, where you can find this podcast as well as many others. If you want to see what we look like, you can join us live Monday nights at around 8 p.m. Central, 6 Pacific. We are over at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. You can see all of Brandon's cool new lighting modes and filters on his video. And if you missed that on Monday, you can always go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can get video versions of all of our episodes. So thanks to everybody that subscribed over there. Finally, you can buy our love over at Patreon, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Great way to support the show directly. Thank you to all of our patrons. All right, Brandon, do you have your settings all dialed in? I feel like you've been in 8 different rooms just in the time I did those social media links.
I have been. So I've got this Hue light, right? And there's 4 of them. There's 4 of them in my room. And so I'm messing with it as you're talking. But because I'm in a brand new room, and I guess that's something to talk about, right? Like,
yeah,
we haven't recorded anything since my new house, and
not a thing.
So I'm figuring things out, which means, okay, there's a window in front of me now, which does provide natural lighting, but because we had never really recorded in a room where I had natural lighting, it's very, very bright. It's very, very bright.
But you're just staring into the sun for an hour while we record.
Yeah. But then but then I have this light that's above me and it like shines directly onto my hair. So I need to get I need to get the light in. I have the natural lighting, but I don't want it. But I do have, there's room on either side of the window that I have it towards me, which I think is what I'm going to need to do. But for right now,
do you have a ring light?
I don't.
Or do you just have the LCD like light panels, right?
Yeah, just the LCD light panels. I don't want the ring light because I have the glasses. So I don't like looking into a ring light with the glasses.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I have a light that I put up above my desk so that when I paint miniatures, I have better lighting in here.
Yeah.
But it's also for like, if I need like the presence of God in a podcast, I can just click a button and be like, wrong button.
Wrong.
And then there it is. And then,
yeah.
And then turn it off. So
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But this
a message, a message from the Lord.
This lighting is
great. Stop your groveling.
Everything is great about this new house.
Everything's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice looking room from the video. This is how I'm encouraging audio listeners to head out to YouTube or Twitch to see the video. You have the very nice stark white walls. It's a great look. You have some small pieces of art that are far away in the background, so that we can't really tell what they are, which I think is also a great move. And then you have a shelf of things that are also far away that we can't tell. It's perfect. And then your drums. You got some drums.
look at me. Look at how nice I look right now.
Look at how evenly lit you are. You're so lit, fam.
Yeah. And I think because now the blinds are up, now there's more echo. because
your voice is just bouncing off the pane of glass directly in front of you.
Yeah. Good times. Good times.
It's going to be perfect.
It's
hey,
fine.
Did you adopt my strategy of putting a blanket through in the in like the crack of the door?
Do you see
too?
I
can barely see it. You can't really see it on the video, but yeah, that's good. I have two of those going. So that's why in the summer it'll get really hot in here and then I'll start sweating like halfway through the podcast. It's going to be perfect.
It's going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to the rest of this show.
Yeah, but with a start like this, I mean, come on.
With a start like this, who needs advertising?
I mean, the last time we talked on this podcast, you were mid-move.
Mm-hmm.
You had like stuff in both places. It was like the last time you had your stuff set up in your other house before you made the big move. So how have things been going? Any stories out of that entire process worth sharing? Anything you've discovered? any favorite things about your new backyard? Or I don't know, watching.
I gotta tell you right now, I'm looking at my backyard and there's a squirrel. There's a squirrel that's like running along the the brick wall. Oh, it's great.
Look at that yard. Hey, you know what? You know what I just thought of?
What's that?
Is your last house had very limited yard. Mm-hmm. And even within that space, very limited grass growing in the yard.
Yeah.
But that's like a field back there. Man, you're about to just lace up them New Balances. Put in some headphones and get to mowing, brother. Spring is here.
No, you know how fancy we are now, Travis. Is we pay somebody now. Yeah, I know.
I know.
My
disappointment is immeasurable.
We're living that California lifestyle now, man. You know,
California. You just rip that stuff up, put some astroturf down. stop wasting water in California.
No.
They need that for the avocados.
That's the thing about California, right? Is we're always in a water shortage, and yet everybody still uses as much water as possible to water their lawn.
That's quintessential California for sure.
Yeah. So I will say the move went pretty well. We split the move up in basically two batches. One, because we had just moved like a year ago to San Pedro, a lot of stuff was still in boxes in our garage. So one day, one weekend, grabbed a U-Haul, put all that stuff in a U-Haul, drove it up here to the new house. And then the second time, a couple weekends later, that was for all the heavy stuff. And so got a bigger U-Haul. Got some friends to help out and then put all like the beds and the cabinets and dressers and all that good stuff in there.
Drum sets.
Well, the drum set came on the first rotation.
My apologies.
Got it. And let me tell you, like, I realized over the month of April when I was moving that my stress relievers were running, and I had to stop that because my shins are broken. And then also drumming was a stress reliever, and the entire month of April those shits were up here and I was living down there still. So it was kind of a stressful month, but anyways, so that second trip got everything on the U-Haul, got everything up here, and my friends who were helping me down at the old house, there was one box of stuff that I had from the podcast room, and they're like, hey, this box is really heavy. Should two people carry it? Like, too heavy. oh, stupid. And so then I was like, I guess I picked it up. I'm like, guess I don't need your help. And I took it all the way into the U-Haul truck. On the back end, Chelsea's parents and family came by to help unload, right? And so I'm standing in the U-Haul, inside the back of the U-Haul. Her dad comes up, and he's standing on the street. And he's like, hey, this box seems pretty heavy. I was like, oh, well, I carried it by myself. It is heavy, but you know, it's not too bad. He's like, well, you know, it's got handles. You want to help me with this? I'm like, yeah, sure. And I bent down to kind of just grab it with one hand because I know he's going to grab it with the other. And as I go down, it goes kink, and my lower back just like, and then I'm like, oh, no. And then I like, my brother-in-law was like, stretch it out. And so I try to stretch it out, and my knees just start buckling slowly because I can't get back up. Oh,
jeez. I'm like stressing out hearing this story.
Yeah. So for the last week and a half, my back has been very kinked. And I'm about to start running again. So I'm like, you have to work back anyways. So we're here. Dang. It's fine.
So let's circle back to the run, because now you've got your drums back, that stress reliever is back, you have podcasting back, we're doing this again, so you can talk to me and we can unload all of our stressors out on the internet every week or so. But running, like, how are your legs doing, and are you ready for like 10 miles? Because that's where we're at in the training plan.
my legs are not technically ready, but I have been going to physical therapy, and they get like the little resistance bands. And essentially what they've been telling me is your shins are splinted because you always work your calf muscles while you're running. And all like your anterior and posterior, whatever, calf muscles on the front of your shin, they never get a workout because those don't get worked out because you're always running, you know, your calf, like you're pushing off, and that muscle in the back is doing all the work. But that means that the muscles in the front are tightening up because they're not working out as much. So the resistance bands, there's a couple different exercises to get that to strengthen those muscles. So I'm working on that.
So does it have to do with your actual running form? Does that affect the risk of injury?
It can influence the risk of injury, but I don't think that's my problem. I think like I've run a midfoot, I've run the heel toe, minimalist, all these different types of shoes. Like I went to the running store and then they told me like, use these shoes. No matter what, I end up with shin splints. And I think it's because either I never actually heal them or,
weak bones,
which by the way, like I went to the original doctor said, stop running. Your shins are broken.
Like, never walk again. Here's a wheelchair. Like, we're wheeling you out of here, Professor X.
You immediately put like metal casings around my legs. But then I went to like dipped
you in carbonite from the waist down and said, that's it, you're done.
I went to a specialist then who then did his own x-rays. And he was like, Yeah, no, your shins are fine. Like, there's little striations, but that's not a fracture. Like, it potentially could be eventually, but it's fine. Like, okay, whatever. Then I saw the actual physical therapist. She said, don't, they're not broken, but don't run. And I'm like, I signed up for a 10 miler in December. So I have to start. I have to start. I just have to.
I don't know. I worry about you, bud. But I mean, I'd love to see you out running again. I just don't want to see you with no legs.
Don't worry about me.
You're so much older than me, Brandon. You know, you're like a whole year older than me.
So, I ain't no bitch.
When I get to be your age, I may have to hang him up. But for now, you know, I did 8 miles 2 weeks ago. And then I think I'm going to sign up for a half marathon in October.
Wow.
And then a full in April of next year.
You got to be careful, man. You have kids to support. And I don't want to lose you.
It's true. Anything could happen. I don't know. I figure if I can get that full marathon in before I turn 40, then I'll be okay.
You've never done a full marathon?
I have done two halves. Does that count?
No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't.
I want one marathon under my belt before I die. That's all I ask.
That's kind of where I'm at. And I figured I'll make it next year and then I can die.
We'll sign up for a marathon after you retire back to California. We'll do your celebration marathon.
Well, at that point, I'll have had like four at that point. So I've got four or five, maybe seven. I'll be like that person that lost their legs and then did like 30 marathons in 30 days or whatever it was, or something. It was like crazy like that.
Yeah. Ultra marathoner.
That is insanity, but
it would never happen.
Yeah. But no, I think if I continue the trend I'm on right now, and I relax about my speed a little bit, because my speed needs to come down if I'm going to go those distances, I think. I could probably, I don't know, I'm feeling good right now. I feel like if I could keep this trajectory, marathon by next year, it's on.
I'm disappointed because, not on you, I'm disappointed that I had to stop running, because I felt like I was doing pretty good with my splits, where I'm like, this is just the pace I know. I can sustain this pace. And now I'm like, if I start again, if I went right now to run, first it would suck because I ate dinner and I'm drinking a beer. But second, probably like a 10 and a half minute mile is how I feel like I would go right now.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed in that. I'm disappointed in you.
It's all right. Every time I send you my run recaps, you just tell me I run too fast. But then I compare that to old data and I'm like, I'm slow. I need to pick it up. When I did that 8 mile, I ran way too fast the first like mile and a half of it. And it did damage on the last couple miles. I was like, I'm so tired. Oh gosh, keep running. Just keep running.
Don't push yourself too hard, Travis. You know, like, you are no spring chicken.
What I did is I mixed up the splits and I was like, okay, I'm doing 8 miles. So I want to have like, I know my average like 5K pace was like 9:30 or something, and so I was like, okay, I'll just like dial that back a little bit. But I think when I was running, I told myself my 5K pace was 9 minutes. And so then that made my 10K pace like 9:30 or something. And so I was like, okay, I'll just do like I'll just average like 9:30. And that apparently was too fast. So, but I don't know. I do see improvement even over the last few months. So
that's good.
Thanks for tricking me into running, Brandon.
You're welcome. That's what I do. I get other people to do things and then I stop doing them.
Speaking of getting other people to do things, did you watch Moon Knight?
I did find it is the first Marvel show since WandaVision that I've actually watched.
You didn't watch Loki?
I guess Loki did come out. Yeah, you're right. I watched Loki too.
You didn't watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Well, that came out before WandaVision.
No.
Really? Are you sure?
I am.
Well, then
100%.
Then Loki is the last one I saw. That came after. Okay. That came after Winter Soldier and
Falcon. Yeah. The first two were WandaVision and then Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And then we had Loki and
Hawkeye. I guess that's
and
it.
Moon Knight. Yeah, I think that's it.
I feel like I missed. Did I miss one? No. No, maybe I'm thinking of Mandalorian or Boba Fett. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Whatever. Moon Knight. I did. I walked.
Matt, you're wrong. I'm sorry. You're just wrong.
Oh no, Matt's.
And I am tight. These are all comments to the Twitch chat.
Maybe Travis is tight.
Maybe Travis is tight. Okay. So Moon Knight, brand new character. Brand new story, really kind of 100% standalone, no linkages to the rest of the MCU in this series. If you haven't seen it, we'll discuss some spoilers and whatnot. So if you're holding out, I don't know why you're waiting, but it's on Disney Plus. You can get all 6 episodes are available now to stream. Brandon, you waited until the entire series was complete. Well, okay, correction. You waited until the entire season was complete because they, as was indicated on social media, this was not a series finale with a 6 episode, but a season finale, and Moon Knight will return in potentially another season. But you waited until the 6 episodes were done. And kind of like watch them all at once. Did you watch them all in one day, over a couple of days? What was your viewing strategy?
We watched them over 2 days. 2 days was the greatest day I ever known.
Tuesdays.
We might have watched. It was either Saturday that we watched 3 episodes, and then. Then Sunday we watched the rest of them, or it was third, whatever, 2 days. The details of the story are not so important. Chelsea went to Hollywood to see a comedy show on Friday, so I know that was done. Plus, I was watching Joe Bob, The Last Drive-In, where Black Sunday, the 1960 Mario Bava flick, was on. And then also a more contemporary film called Death by Temptation, which Death being spelled D-E-F. That took place in like New York City or something like that. Both pretty good movies. I stayed awake for both of them. Last drive-in, I passed out on my back porch watching it on the TV outside. But the blanket was super comfortable.
That's our review of Moon Knight. Make sure you're following for more hot takes.
So 2 days. I asked Chelsea, I said, hey, like, I put Disney Plus on, like, do you want to watch one of these episodes with me? And she said, sure. And we sat there and we watched one episode and then watched another episode. And then she said, well, let's just do one more. And then we watched one more episode. And then bing, bang, boom, we got all the way. Oh, you know what? It was Thursday and Saturday. So then Saturday, that night, we watched the rest of those episodes. And I had been aware slightly of Moon Knight. One of our old Geekade pals, Evan Goldstein, is a huge, huge Moon Knight fan. And so even though I wasn't tracking the character of Moon Knight, like, I was aware of him and knew that he was kind of a Batman-ish character with a disassociative personality disorder. So I was tracking that I wasn't necessarily super excited about the series, but Oscar Isaac, and he did a great job on SNL. One of the best SNL hosts in modern modern times. I should say.
The greatest credit he has to his name is SNL host. Yeah. I mean, I was sort of in the same boat as you in terms of aware of Moon Knight, knew some very surface level facts about the character, but had never read a comic about Moon Knight, hadn't really done too much homework on him. But I was ready for a somewhat darker series with definitely dealing with some, you know, multiple personality type scenarios, which was really like kind of difficult for Sheena at the start when we started watching the series, because she knew even less than me. So when the main character Steven is going through his day and kind of blacking out, excuse me, from time to time, and then finding himself in different places and things like that, the sort of I want to say like non-linear, but it is linear. Like it was happening. Like it was just, I don't know the term, the jarring jumps between continuity was kind of confusing for her at first. And it was harder for her to follow the story. And even over subsequent episodes, as you learn more about Mark and Steven and a little bit of their backstory and things like that, the way it jumps around, and then you incorporate Egyptian gods and all sorts of other things, like she kind of tapped out after three episodes. It was like, you know, this is a little much for me. You enjoy the rest of that, which I feel like some of the later episodes in the series really are sort of like what make the season as a whole. And but it is still very abstract, and they take some creative licenses. So it's not like a easy to swallow, I don't know, Captain America story or something where you just have a hero that's got a villain and, you know, fights and then roll credits. I don't know. What did you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. It is linear in the sense that it doesn't have flashbacks or anything like that. Any flashbacks that are shown are like in the course of still time moving forward, which like sure. a couple, I say time travel-y things, but they're not really time travel-y things. They're just, it's like in the present and their time is moving forward, but they're making things go backwards at the same time. I liked it. I had heard after the initial episode, the pilot episode came out, people were like, I couldn't follow it. I was like, what's going on? I don't understand it. Like Moon Knight doesn't even show up until the end of the first episode. And you're like, what's going on here? What?
Yeah.
I wasn't as put off by that. I was like, this is a character that no one's ever heard of. You know, a lot of people have not heard of him. And, you know, like building up to it, having a more of a character driven superhero for one that you're not aware of, I thought was a good choice. But I think if I give them any credit, it's being like, well, we're not used to not binging shows now. So like drip feeding content, like I don't know if the pilot for Lost would be as appreciated now as it was back then, because people be like, wait, what? I don't understand what's happening. Why didn't they answer these questions yet?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've had this conversation several times in the past of the podcast, but when you go back to shows like Lost, which were sort of in that golden era where they were really pushing the envelope with TV, but streaming services were not around yet. So even like binging a DVD season of TV was a little bit rare until Lost, because the mysteries and trying to figure out what was happening week to week was part of the appeal of Lost, right? You could watch the show with a group of friends or by yourself, but then you had 7 days of conversation where you could everybody was up to the same point on the show, right? Like you if you are caught up, everybody has the same level of information. Nobody has skipped ahead. Nobody finished it all because they had the weekend off and you had a wedding to go to, so you only got to episode 4, right? Like everybody was caught up, so the conversations could happen. And I feel like Disney Plus and some other streaming services are trying to recapture some of that by drip feeding their episodes week to week. It keeps people on your platform for sure, right? Because I'm not going to cancel my Disney Plus subscription if I know throughout the month of April and May I'm going to watch Moon Knight, and by the end of May I have to start watching Obi-Wan, and that's going to go carry me through part of the summer, and then whatever the next season or series is after that, right? And so whereas like Ozark, the final season of Ozark came out and I'm already done with it. Like they broke that up into 2 parts, but it's still like each part was only, you know, 4 or 5 episodes or whatever it was. And so it was, you could go through that a lot faster. But with you, if you had watched it week to week, we could have had conversations. We could have been like, oh, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But the problem with even Moon Knight is it's not a show that has like these deep mysteries where you're like, oh, what does this mean? What is, like, there's curiosities about, well, why does Steven keep blacking out? And is there this other personality? Okay, there is, but what does that mean? And you could have some conversations about it. But generally, like, I don't get the same sense that people are like consuming media in the same way to where they're all like, oh, let's all talk about the new Disney Plus show around the water cooler for half an hour, because somebody's already moved on to whatever's on Netflix or whatever they're watching on a different platform.
This is moving into a conversation that's not directly about Moon Knight, but
yeah,
I don't have any empirical metric to make this claim, but I'll make it anyway because that's what we do as podcasters.
We're podcasters.
And I don't think I'm alone in thinking this. When network TV was running the show, so to speak, that is where everyone was, right? There weren't just a bunch of shows on Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and HBO and
cable was Cinemax. The threat, right? Oh, you have 100 channels and 4 of them just show the same, you know, Ice Road Truckers, like, you know, like Deadliest Catch for 4 hours. Like that's what you're competing with.
We talked about American Idol. That was a thing. People who wouldn't watch that show today, we were all watching that show in the early 2000s. You know, and
it was a phenomenon.
And we were all talking about it because there were so few things that were in competition with it at the time. Friends was just about to end. Everybody watched the Friends finale.
That's right.
And things were moving on. And then Lost came out, and then there was Heroes for just like a few seasons. But our collective focus was focused on just a few of these major networks. Then with the advent of streaming, cable got into the business, and just so much out there. Then there's nothing that really brings us all together. The closest thing that brings us together now is when a new Marvel movie comes out, because people who don't watch movies go see Marvel movies.
Yeah, which you haven't gone to see the new Marvel movie.
I haven't yet.
No. It severely limits our conversation for this marvelous episode.
I saw Batman before you, okay?
Yeah, you did. You did. That's fine. That's fine. Anyway, which I liked Batman, by the way. We're talking Moon Knight. Anyway, all of that conversation
we'll come
to
back to
say...
Batman.
We'll come back to Batman. Put a pin in it. I think this series, this season, would have been better watched in a binge session. I think the way you consumed this season of Moon Knight is the way I would have hoped to have consumed it, because there was a bit of a slow burn. There's a lot of character development. And I feel like if it had been a movie, if it had been condensed down from like approximately 6 hours to 2 hours, I think it would have been a great movie. And I think with that extra time, they did get way more into the character's backstory and some things like that. But there were times where, I don't know, you'd finish the second episode and be like, well, okay, I know a little bit more about him, but I don't think he even put the suit on that whole time. Or like, I don't, like, it just, there were parts that built slower than, I don't know, that in over the course of six episodes, certain episodes felt a little bit slower than others. Mm. So, but that fifth episode, I think it was the fifth episode. Dang. It was intense. It was
give him the Emmy.
Heavy. that's got the Emmy contention written all over it. But so there's some really solid stuff in here. Very like, I feel like they're embracing across the MCU, embracing the comic roots more and more, where I feel like they're okay with doing things that are a little bit more out of the norm, a little bit more stylized, using things like a mental hospital to create an environment for the afterlife and have that be part of the Egyptian afterlife. And like, I don't know, if you had tried to do that in phase one of the MCU, they'd have been like, no, sorry, we're done. No. Thanks for playing.
Stop
but
it.
Now
Stop
you can
it.
Do that.
Yeah.
And even with Doctor Strange, there's a lot of things in the new Doctor Strange movie where it's like, I don't know, if they'd tried this 10 years ago, I don't think the casual viewers, the casual fans would have been emotionally or, I don't know, just...
Forgiving.
Would have forgiving. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like going back to like Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor Ragnarok, the MCU started to be okay with doing a little more quirky stuff, there's no telling what Edgar Wright's version of Ant-Man would be, but like I wonder if Edgar Wright's version of Ant-Man was at that kind of junction where they weren't really ready yet to have like auteurs direct their stuff. And then James Gunn did Guardians of the Galaxy, and then and Taika Waititi, and now here we are. Now we're like Thor: Love and Thunder is coming out, and Moon Knight. And so, yeah, I agree with you. The whole Doctor Strange, I haven't seen Doctor Strange, but the fact that they brought Sam Raimi in to replace Scott Derrickson and turn it into, you know, the MCU horror film. And I use that lightly. I haven't seen it, but people are like, it should be rated R. But it's
there were air quotes for our audio listeners on around horror film. Yeah.
But as horror as you can get. And so Sam Raimi, for those who are listening and don't know Sam Raimi other than Spider-Man, like my coworker Mike, he's like, Sam Raimi, where do I hear this? Spider-Man? Like, yeah, he also did Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn, and Army of Darkness, and also Drag Me to Hell. He did Drag Me to Hell as well. I was excited to see what kind of quirkiness that Sam Raimi would bring to Multiverse of Madness. And I'm still excited to hear it. And I hear from a couple of Skylar Jones that it has some Evil Dead 2 and it has some Army of Darkness in it. And I could not be happier about that.
There's some cameos that you either already know about or will be excited to see. Yeah.
Well, always with Sam Raimi, there's always a Bruce Campbell lurking about.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. yeah, I don't know. If you had to give like 1 to 10 scale rating on Moon Knight, and I'm assuming you watched all the way to the post credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the sixth episode.
I did.
I don't know how would you collectively as a first season rate that show?
I would give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah,
because I really liked it. I think Oscar Isaac is a really good actor. And culminating in that fifth episode, I think just solidifies how good he is. And I can understand why some folks would not be as excited about it. I know my kid who was like Marvel, yay. Was not interested in watching it at all.
Yeah.
So
I think it's more adult in terms of just like the character, like the emotional level, or even just like, I don't know, the story just doesn't, I wouldn't appeal to kids as much because it's not as actiony, not as popcorn. There's more like, let's deal with mental health issues and childhood trauma and like, you know, forgiving yourself
and Egyptian gods, right?
Yeah. With a heavy coat of Egyptian gods.
Like, it was the subject that my kid was least interested in. And so why would he want to watch a show about it?
It's fair. Khonshu will find you, little one. I think if I had a running like scale that was going throughout the episodes, I probably would have started at around like a 7, 7.5 through episode one, and then that like slowly would have ticked down over the next couple episodes where I'd be like, oh, maybe the show's like not a 7, it's like is this a 6? Like, is this really? And then like by the midpoint, it starts to ratchet back up. And like episode 4 and 5, I'm like by 5, I'm like, okay, this is really like, okay, they're doing some cool stuff with this. And by the end of it, I'm like, no, this is like it's probably like a solid 8, you know, show. I still have some issues with it, but overall, I think it's a cool story and a cool introduction for a new character. So yeah, I don't know. If you haven't watched Moon Knight, I mostly recommend it. I was going to say highly recommend it, but I was like, I recommend it. You should watch it. You should check it out.
Yeah.
But it is darker, more more adult themes, I guess. I mean, it's still safer. Like, it's like, I wouldn't say your kid can't watch it, but it's darker.
Yeah. And it's darker, and it's a good show to lead into Mother's Day 2022.
Yeah. And Multiverse of Madness, which is another darker, more sinister, horror-esque
with a mom acronym.
With a mom acronym.
That's right.
You think that's on purpose? They're like,
thinking about it now.
Multiverse
of
Madness, Mother's Day, huh? Shall we? And Feige's like, I love it. Let's go.
The reason I wanted to bring up Batman wasn't because I wanted to talk about that movie necessarily. I was actually wanting to bring it up because Moon Knight in the Marvel Universe is most closely adjacent to Batman. Like, Moon Knight is the Marvel Universe's Batman, essentially. And so there were some heavy Moon Knight fans, and I didn't find out what some of them thought about it, but like, they're like, he's not a supernatural guy. he's like gadgets and like he's got a lot of athleticism. He's not like super powered. And so so some of the critique from fans was, you're completely changing who the character is to make it more Marvel-y. And
yeah,
and some people are like, it actually makes sense, because otherwise people would be like, oh, oh, good job bringing a Batman. What a ripoff.
Sure.
So, but
yeah, I think Evan, right? If Moon Knight's your guy, like if you've only ever had him in comics, really, or right, or some, never in the MCU for sure, and then all of a sudden they're making a series of your guy, like the character that you're most interested in, but it comes at a cost of like completely changing the character and elements of their backstory and how they behave, and I could see how that would be frustrating, or you know, it just make you like the show less. But I feel like it's certainly not the first time they've had to do that with characters. We talk about, you know, Wanda and the Scarlet Witch and how that character has developed and evolved throughout the MCU. Definitely not a one for one comparison with what the comics, the comic character was. So again, it's a situation where you kind of have to appreciate the inspiration that comes from the comics, but then realize these characters, every character is sort of up for grabs in the MCU as a retelling or a reversioning of, mm-hmm. of some of these characters for the benefit of the MCU. So yeah, I'm excited for when you see Doctor Strange, because then maybe we can talk about it you know, at length. But now that Doctor Strange is out, MCU Phase 4, we've had, what, 5 films? If you have Black Widow, Eternals,
Shang-Chi,
Spider-Man, Shang-Chi, Far From Home, and now Doctor Strange. It's kind of a weird phase, right? Where, like, we had everything in phases 1 through 3 sort of building, maybe less so in phase 1, though things at the end of phase 1, they tipped their hand at Thanos. Like, all of that was the Infinity Saga. That was like, okay. And especially in some of the later movies and things, it was just like 100% tied into the Infinity Stones and Thanos and where that was moving. Obviously, there's an overarching, like, multiverse theme throughout Phase 4. But outside of that, I feel like all of these movies feel pretty separate. Maybe the one argument being Far From Home, with Doctor Strange being an important role in that movie. Or, I'm sorry, No Way Home. And then, you know, going right into a Doctor Strange movie. But I don't know, like, what's your vibe? What's your sense on the current state of the MCU? Like, are you cool with what they're doing? Like, moving in all these different directions, introducing new characters that don't necessarily tie into other things. Are you craving some big Avengers team up, like at the end of a phase or something? Or are you just like, let's just see cool stories and have like weird, like, one-off crossovers where we put Wong in the Shang-Chi movie, and then have, you just, I don't know, we'll just grab one actor from this movie and throw him in the other one.
I guess my thought is Phase 4 is the Phase 1 of the next phase, right?
Of the next saga, right?
Yeah. And if we go back to Phase 1 of the MCU, all of those were very disparate films, with maybe a character in one that, like, just shows up, is handpicked and put in another.
Yeah. Tony Stark rolling into the end of the Hulk movie. which I finally saw.
You did.
So
you did. Congratulations.
For longtime listeners of the podcast, I am fully caught up on the MCU now. Yeah.
But I've seen that like sentiment, like where's it going? There's lots of different directions it's going. And eventually like the ether, I think, in Thor turns into one of the Infinity Stones. We find out it's an Infinity Stone later, right? All these pieces start coming together. We know that Kang is going to be in Ant-Man Quantumania. So like that is a thing. Some of the potential some of the cameos in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness have some implications potentially, confirmed or otherwise, for the different future. Even some of the plot points refer to, you know, hint at larger overarching comic stories. And so they have lots of different hints. And I know we still have the Disney Plus shows coming out, like Secret Wars and like Armor Wars and like the one with the Skrulls and stuff like that. A lot of that stuff is happening and it's coming, but we're still in a new phase. So I have faith. Obviously, I think everybody knows like something's coming. We just don't know what it is yet. I think.
All right. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm curious to see what that looks like. I just wonder how long it will be before we get like, what is that? What is that next? I don't know. Part of me is still waiting for like the big Avengers movie, like the next big team up, right? And when I say Avengers, I'm not saying it needs to be an Avengers movie,
right?
But I think one of the things that Marvel did so well is taking all of those disparate storylines and then bringing them together for even just one movie to kind of like, this isn't a Captain America movie. This isn't a Iron Man movie. This is an Avengers movie. Like, so I'm like, where is that movie that's just like the Secret Wars movie or like the whatever, right? Where it's, this is and technically Civil War was a Captain America movie, but where you could just get all those characters in and just like have them fight a big bat or something. So and it may be a while till we see that, or maybe they just are like, we did that. We put a lot of brain power into that and chill out. I don't know. I hear a lot of chatter on the internet, especially with a Fantastic Four movie somewhere out in the future. What is it, Doctor Doom? Mm-hmm. A lot of fans really wanting that character to be portrayed and done justice in a film version.
Well, you need a Doctor Doom for Secret Wars, you know? You need him for
and then
it.
And then Kang still, right? Like there's ways that they can play with that too. So
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure it'll happen.
And you still
I will
need
still
X-Men.
Pay money to what?
And you still need X-Men.
Yeah, we do. We do need X-Men.
Still need to bring up.
It's happening. They're trickling in. It's little by little.
Then we have Avengers versus X-Men. There's that crossover. That'll be someday. All the actors currently playing will all be dead, so we'll be in our 90s. But
all of this to say, I'm totally fine with them moving on from all of those like first three phase characters. The ones that are sticking around, I'm glad they're here too. But like, I'm cool with them moving into like new areas with new actors and new storylines. I'm totally down with that. Yeah. I'm trying to. I've trained my mind so much to look for those common threads, and so now it's just like, are these even connected? Maybe they're not supposed to be. Okay, that's fine. Just move on.
Well, yeah. So. In like Moon Knight. Moon Knight is not. It's a part of the universe, but it's not explicit. There's only a few references, Easter eggs that are mentioned. Like Madripoor is mentioned in Moon Knight, like very very briefly, and I think there's like maybe one or two other references. Like we know that Blade is going to be coming out too. Blade is a thing that'll happen. So we got that supernatural side as well. like Daredevil is coming back with Kingpin. They're both in the universe now. So there's lots of things that can happen. And we just have to wait and see what that is.
Okay. Still coming this year. We have a Black Panther movie coming out too.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. And then Quantumania is next February. And then we have to, and then Guardians 3 in May. Jeez. Yeah. Guardians 3 is going to be fun. Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I just looked at all the projected films that are just like in production. And like, we got a lot of good stuff coming this year. I don't know. With Thor and then Black Panther, Ant-Man, Guardians, and then the Marvels. Like, sign me up. I'm in. Plus that Miss Marvel series that's coming out. Okay. All right. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. I don't know. Is there any other topic you want to discuss? I mean, obviously, lots of Star Wars content coming up. I don't know. Is there horror movies you want to talk about or something? What's on Shudder these days?
Death by Temptation. The movie I want to see, and I don't know if I'll see it before Multiverse of Madness, to be honest with you, is I want to see Everything Everywhere All at Once, right?
Yep, googly because, eyes. Yeah.
Because that's the movie that people are like, that's the real multiverse movie you want to see. One of my buddies.
Yeah, I want to see it really bad as well.
Yeah. Jamie Lee's in it. They say it's the best multiverse movie ever. And I'm like, I mean, sign me up. I'm so excited about it. Sign me up for that. You can go on all that Marvel stuff. I want this Everything Everywhere All at Once. So I do want to see that. I need to see The Bad Guys with the kid. But
I didn't even see Sonic 2. I missed that one.
Oh, I saw Sonic 2.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about this because I saw it. We're on hiatus. Yeah. Sonic 2, real quick, my Brandon's Sonic 2 minute. I loved it, but there was, if you read the reviews will complain about a human subplot that drags things down. 100% accurate is 100% accurate. And you know what? It's so unimportant that I'm going to tell you what it is right now. The human characters go to Hawaii for a wedding. Like the main character's wife from the first film, her sister is getting married in Hawaii. And there's a whole subplot with her and the guy she's marrying. And then something happens and then the wedding is off. And then she goes on a revenge kick to go get after the guy who she was supposed to marry. That little subplot goes on for like 10-15 minutes with no Sonic. It has nothing to do with any of the main plot, anything. And then there's like an emotional beat, like there's an emotional thing where they like talk to each other and they're like, they actually fall in love. And I'm like, why is this in the movie? This is not important.
How is this applicable at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst part. But
where's the guy with the two tails?
But all the Sonic stuff, I think Sonic 2 is one of my top five games of all time. I just love it so much. And I just had like so much nostalgia for Sonic 2.
Your internet broke up for a second. And when did you say top five games of all time?
Yeah.
Because I thought you were saying top five films of all time, and I was like, Brandon, hold the phone.
Oh my God, my internet broke up.
but it's okay. Okay. All right, top five games. Games. Yes. Okay, I'm with you.
Top five games. Yes. Yeah. So it was just it triggered all of those happy memories. So I really enjoyed it. And people who then went on from Sonic 2 and they had like Sonic Adventures and they like Sonic the Extended Gaming Universe, like Uncanny Megan, like there's stuff for her leading into the future. But But this is the pinnacle for me in Sonic films.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
Top five Sonic films service. Of all time. That's
yeah, top five Sonic films. Easily one of the top five Sonic films. All right, awesome. Well, we are closing in on just about an hour here, so I think it'll probably be about time for us to wrap this up. Thanks to anybody that made it this far. If you're continuing to listen, thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for being a listener. If you have any thoughts on Moon Knight or any other MCU content or the Batman or Sonic or anything else that we talked about, make sure to hit us up on Twitter at Apthusiast, or you can send us an email, and we would love to keep that conversation going. We are going to flip over to our Twitch only post show, where we'll chat for a little bit longer about, you know, anything that we didn't really get to in this episode. If you want to be part of that, make sure you're following us over on Twitch. And until next time, I'm Travis.
Oh, and I'm Brandon. Thank you so much for listening after this long wait that you've waited so long for waiting for us. Waiting.
Yeah, and then we'll be back in like a couple of weeks with another one of these. We got to make some Rick and Morty episodes too.
That's so. Right.
Off again, on again.
I'll turn it on and off again. Bye.
All right, bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.